So let's learn a little bit about payus. Last week we discussed the mitzvah of getting a haircut, whether there is a mitzvah, when there would be an instance to receive a haircut. So now we're going to discuss exactly, this is part one of how to properly get a haircut. There's going to be a number of parts to this. Today we're going to discuss the basic issur, the source of it, and the area, what's called payus. Next week we're going to discuss how long it's allowed to be using scissors, razors, and shavers. Then move on to other discussions about whether the person who's receiving the haircut, is he subject to that isser or only the one cutting the hair, that's makif nikif, being misayeb isser, and probably one more topic along with that. Let's see inside, number one, the source of the isser to cut off payos. So the pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, lo sakifu pa'as, don't cut the corners of your head. Don't cut the corners of your beard. That would probably be the next topic. The natural topic is to discuss the beard. But right now we're discussing not to cut off the corners of your head. So what's the reason for this? So the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam writes in Mitzvahs Lo Sase Mem Gimel, number two, reading in the bold, V'ha'azhara mizeh, gam kein kidei shelo nisdame le'ov de avodah zarah, not to appear like you're a non-Jewish priest. Kichein hayu osin kom avodah zarah, that's how the priest would have the haircut. Shehayu megalchin se'ar hatadam levah, they cut off the payos. So I remember when I learned this in elementary school, they never showed us a picture, but my image was, it must have been movies, I don't know how they really look nowadays, but I always like thought like a little, haircut, mama just circle around, there's no hair here, and just hair on top, like a little mushroom or something along those lines. That's what I always imagined. I don't know if the Rebbe taught me this way, but that's what I always imagined it would look like. So cutting the whole way around would be the Isser. So, but we'll see that's not the case. So look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes in number four, he's quoting the Tur. The Tur writes, Eino Mefurash, the Rambam quotes a reason. The reason brought by the Rambam that's to not look like the Komri Avodah Zarah, the priests, Eino Mefurash, it's not stated anywhere in the pasuk. Ve'einanu tzrichim levakish tam lemitzos, it's not our obligation to look for reasons. Ki mitzvas melechem aleinu af lo neda tamim. We do the mitzvahs because Hashem tells us to do, and regardless of whether we know the reasons or not. So the Torah was not very fond of the Rambam looking for reasons for mitzvahs. Now this is, of course, a general discussion of learning and darshin time midakra, trying to figure out the reasons behind certain psukim and certain mitzvahs, but the Torah was not very happy that the Rambam looked for a reason for this particular isser. So what's behind this? So there's a big discussion, the Beis Yosef, the Darchei Moshe, the Bach, have slightly different approaches, what the machlokus between the Rambam is and the Torah. Again, the Rambam gives a reason, so it shouldn't look like the non-Jewish priests. And the Torah says we don't look for reasons. So number four, the Beis Yosef says, yeah.
So you have a problem with the Rambam if all of a sudden the non-Jewish priests start, going payus.
Very good. Excellent.
Breslov, then what, we're all going to start shaving off.
Very good. So we're going to get that. Very good. So the Beis Yosef writes, Shedaito lachlok al harambam, lama lo levakesh tamedaito, l'shemitzvah shenira she'ilu. It sounds like the Torah is upset with the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, it would appear she'ilu lo hayu yodim tamim hamitzvos, lo hayinu mitzuvim la'asozan. Is the Rambam suggesting if we didn't know the reason, we wouldn't do the mitzvahs? Certainly, that's a strange thing. Why would the Rambam ever say that? We don't look for reasons because that becomes a very terrible thing. Because it sounds like we only do mitzvahs because we know the reasons, and it's not true. We do the mitzvahs because Hashem tells us to do the mitzvahs. I was talking to someone on Shabbos about a particular topic. I'm not going to mention right now. It's worthy of another sheer topic, but about people who are very intelligent, understand reasons, and sometimes when a person is so smart, it's so dangerous because they could figure out what's behind certain mitzvahs and certain halachas, and then start, well, they say the halachas this way, halachas that way. The whole discussion of women wearing tefillin, people who are very intelligent, very smart people, I would even call them tamidei chachamim, but perhaps lack yirei shemayim, because they say, oh, the halacha is that women are allowed to wear tefillin, it's correct, halacha is true, and they're right, it's true, halachically they're allowed to. But what they lack is mesorah, they lack tradition. So once you start trying to figure out reasons and understandings, which we're supposed to do, that's what the Torah is about, but if you're lacking the aspect of tradition, so then you're going to cause a lot of problems. Or women hakafos, same thing. There's a whole discussion in halacha. Mitat halacha is probably okay. There's ways around it. But in the end of the day, we have a certain mesorah that we have to keep to. So yes, we look for reasons, but the Torah was concerned that's very dangerous sometimes when you look into the reasons of halacha. So look what the Beis Yosef says. Beis Yosef writes, this is number four, the second paragraph. Actually, do we read the first part? We didn't read the first part yet. Number four. Shedaito lachlok al Rambam, lam levakish tam midaito l'shemitzvah. Right, I read this already, so go to the next paragraph now. V'ein hadavar kein. Beis Yosef says, this was not what the Rambam was trying to say. The Rambam wasn't trying to suggest that we only do mitzvahs because we know the reason. And if we didn't do reason, if we didn't know the reason, we wouldn't do the mitzvah. It says, ki mitzvahs hamelachim aleinu, the mitzvahs are incumbent upon us, afim lo neida tamam. Even if we don't know the reason, we still do the mitzvahs. V'ani omer, says the Beis Yosef, techas leila harambam milimisbar hachi, chas v'shalom, the Rambam would suggest such a thing, u'mi yochosh lekavod haTorah v'mitzvahs yosmi menu, who cares more about the Torah and the respect than the Rambam? Oftentimes, these people who are very liberal will use the Rambam, the intellectual Rambam, as their basis for making certain halachas and changes in halachas, whether it's women wearing tefillin or women hakafos or anything like that, it's the Rambam. The Beis Yosef says, who is more careful about the Kavod HaTorah than the Rambam? Certainly the Rambam is not suggesting that we only do mitzvahs because of the reasons. She'af al-pi, she'kol chukei HaTorah gzeiros ha-melechem, mikomakom komashenu chalavakesh lotam. If we could think of a reason, we suggest a reason, but not to distort the halacha because of the reason. We just try to understand as best as possible. Rabbi Shimon did darish time in the Gra. Rabbi Shimon was the one who did darshan time in the Gra. He looked for logic, but he's also the one who wrote the Zohar. And he had a certain Masorah in accepting things that we don't understand everything completely. And that's, there's a klal we find in the Gemara that Adam dun kal v'chomer mi'atzmo. We're allowed to make our own logical suggestions. We can make kal v'chomers. We're supposed to learn. I spoke about this in the drasha on Shabbos. We're supposed to contribute, have innovation and chidushim. We're supposed to do this. But at the same time, the halacha is ein onshin min adin. You cannot use your kal v'chomer to apply a punishment. There's only so far you could go with your own logic. Yes, we're supposed to learn, but to start implementing a punishment, to give a chi of misa, ein onshin min adin. So there's, of course, you have to walk a fine line here of having our own input, but also where to draw the line, a certain tradition in Masorah. So what the Beis Yosef is saying is, the Rambam, of course, felt that halacha and mitzvahs we keep regardless of the reason, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't look for the reason and try to understand the Torah. That's the understanding of the Beis Yosefs. Look at the Darchei Moshe number 5. The Rambam says something similar. Hol ve'ein atam mefurish mikra, ein lahati b'makom she'ein atam shayach zehu. Zehu nirali b'das Rabbeinu lo kimo shechashev alav ha'chacham b'al Beis Yosef. He has slightly different understanding of the Beis Yosef. But in the end of the day, you can look for reasons, but don't use the reasons to allow for a terem. So it might be that the reason you can't cut hair the corners is because we don't want to look like the non-Jews, particularly the komrei over the avodah zarah. But at the same time, don't use the reason as a davar heter. Don't find it as a leniency. So we'll see an application in just a second. The Bach has a big chiddush. The Bach writes, number 6, V'chol ze kasar rav b'tama mitzvah. The Rambam writes the reason, K'dei lahagdil ha'azhara, shemilvad halab ha'vamfurish b'giluach peyas harosh ha'zokan, od over b'lav d'b'chukosem lo seleichu. The Rambam wasn't explaining the reason of cutting the hair. He was adding on another lav. In addition to their stam and isser of cutting the corners, there's also an isser of chukasakum. So to your question, if let's say nowadays the non-Jews grow their hair long, so there wouldn't be a chukasakum problem anymore, but there would still be an isser of batakifu, of cutting off the corners, because of gzeres hakasuf. So this is the whole back and forth between the Rambam and the Tur and others, what the reason is and whether or not we're concerned with the reason behind cutting the peyos. So there, Taz writes, there's a nafkamina. Taz writes in number 7. The halacha is there's one simin in all of Shulchan Aruch about peyos rosh. It's in Yoredeya, simin kuf pey alf. A very small simin. It talks about cutting peyos. It talks about cutting the beard. Very quick simin, not too many notes of kalim there. So the Taz writes as follows in number 7. The Rambam tala din ze be'ovdei kochavim shehu chok shelahem. So he says the reason behind cutting off peyos is because the non-Jews do this. Vimkein, yesh lepamim heter mishum shalom malchus. Sometimes you're allowed to cut off the peyos if it's shalom malchus. And he quotes a simon kufayin ches, which we'll see in just a moment. That's where the Torah argues. There's no explicit explanation in the Torah. What's an afkamina? For Shalom Malchus. If you have to go present yourself to the king and they're not going to see you unless you cut off your payos, let's say, or just that's considered the kavod for the king to have a full cutting of the beard in the corners. So the Rambam would say you should cut off the payos. According to the Torah, you should not cut off the payos. That's a nafkamina according to the Taz. And we have a model for this. If you look at number 8, this is worthy of a different shir topic as well, when it comes to Chukas Akum. The Mechaber writes, those who are learning Avodah Zarah would have seen this in the Gemara. Recently we discussed this. Mishu Karv L'Malchus, someone who is close to the king. He's high up there and he's in Washington, D.C. And Tzarech Lubosh B'Mabushayim, he has to wear the non-Jewish clothing, whatever that might be. It's not relevant in America. But I'm sure in other countries there's certain ways that the certain governors and officers have to dress, which is a Chukas Akum. So ulid moslahem, you have to look like them, mutter b'kol, says the Mechaber. Even though normally you can't wear non-Jewish clothing, it's chukas akum. If it's for shalom malchus, then you're allowed to wear non-Jewish clothing. So look with the Taz, how he explains this. The Taz there in kuf ayin ches, it's because, number 9 here, v'yafa gav d'chol ha'nizkar b'simen zehu b'chlal u'b'chokosem lo seleichu, wearing non-Jewish clothing is an iser deraisa. Chachamim can't uproot a din deraisa. Mikol makom ha'cha shayni. This application is different. Kevin shelo pirsha Torah shem davar. The Torah doesn't explain what is an example of chukas akum. It just says chukas akum. What does chukas akum mean? Give me an example. So says the Taz, it's a chiddush here. U'maser l'chachamim. The Torah says there's an iser. What are the applications? What are the details? You guys figure that out. So therefore, Chachamim were able to say, "Hemro lahatir lekrovim lemalchus." The Chachamim built in defining what's considered a chukas akum, a heter for shalom malchus. What does that remind you of? Any other type of iser we have? Nothing come to mind. Cholamoid, exactly. The Gemara Chagiga Daf Yudches says that cholamoid is an iser deraisa of doing blacha. According to Moshe Shom, it's an iser deraisa. But yet the Gemara says there was a Kasev Amasal Chachamim. The Torah gave the ability Chachamim to define when is it Isser? Is it Asr? They said, well, let's figure it out. For Davar Avod it's Mutter. For Tzarech Moed it's Mutter. For different cases it's Mutter. If it's not one of the Eterim, then it's Asr. So we have a number of examples where there's an Isser Deraisa, but the details are ambiguous. It's unclear. It's not defined. Chachamim come along and define it. So Chukas Akum is an example of an Isser Deraisa that they said, Shel Malchus would be permitted. There's actually an interesting Gemara in Tainus, which has an example of this. I was surprised when I saw the Gra didn't quote this Gemara. Normally, what the Gra accomplishes on the Shulchan Aruch is he tried to bring everything back to the Gemara. He felt everything was really sourced in the Gemara, and the basic Rishonim, like Rashi, Tosos, the Rajba, and he wasn't very fond of people after that trying to distort things. So that he always says, look at the Gemara, says that, look at even what a Chiddush that you might find in a later Beis Yosef or Trumas HaDeshin is really based on the Gemara. And if it wasn't in the Gemara, the Gra would say it's not, we wouldn't paskin that way. So this is a Gemara that's a Mefurish Heter for this Taz and the Shulchan Aruch of Shal Malchus. The story goes, a number of times, I'm not going to read it inside, but one time Rabbi Broka Choza, an individual in Amora, was walking in the Shuk, the famous Gemara. And he wanted to know, he was Zocha to Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi. He was talking to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he was curious to know whether, at that very moment, was there any person in the Shuk who was Zochet Olam Haba. So there's one story the Gemara says there are two jesters that were there making people happy who were getting into fights. But there's also a story that an individual came by, he was wearing non-Jewish shoes. They were able to tell by the colors of the shoes, non-Jewish shoes, and he wasn't wearing tzitzis. And he said, that guy over there, not wearing a tzitzis, that guy wearing the non-Jewish shoes, he's Zochet Olam Haba. So Rabbi Broker ran after the individual to find out what he did that was so special to warrant Olam Haba. He runs after him and he says, what do you do? He says, I'm busy now, come back to me tomorrow. So the next day he comes back and finds him. He says, so what do you do? He says, I work in the jail and I'm a spy and I try to protect the people from, you know, the men and women mixing together. And so he says, so why do you wear non-Jewish clothing? Why don't you wear yarmulke? Why don't you wear tzitzis? So he says, because since I'm amongst the non-Jews, I like to spy and figure out what the new decrees, what the new gzeres are that coming out. And if I were to wear Jewish clothing and Jewish tzitzis, they would recognize I wouldn't be able to be a good spy. So for that reason, I'm allowed to wear non-Jewish clothing. So this is a mefurash heter for a shel malchus of wearing non-Jewish clothing. This also would be a very important source for spies in general, what they're allowed to violate, what type of isurim. Israeli spies who are going into Arab countries and villages, they don't look Jewish at all. They don't have a problem with payas because they have beards that connect to each other. That's not a problem for them. But other things are very much a problem. You know, Yom Kippur, eating Yom Kippur, davening Yom Kippur, all types of isurim that they have to be involved in. This is one of the sources for that discussion of going undercover. Fine, so we see that there's a heter for Shalom Alchus when it comes to Chukas Akum. So Taz says we could apply that same heter for cutting payos. The person needs to go undercover. You could cut off the corners according to the Rambam, but not according to the Torah. So how do we paskin? Do we allow this as such a heter? So if you look at number 11, Rav Meir Eisenstadt, who was the Rebbe of Rav Yonatan Eibschitz, so he says, if you read inside number 11, Vani Omer Chalila Lomar Kein Ladas Rambam. Do not say this. The Taz was incorrect in his understanding of the Rambam. The Af Mashin is Karbisman Kufayin Ches. We just saw by Chukas Akum there is such a heter for Shal Malchus to wear non-Jewish clothing. Aba Mash Mefurish B'Torah LeIsser Af Shatam Mipnei Chukas Akum. Even though it might be Chukas Akum when it comes to cutting payos, Mikol Makom Chal Mitzvah Zu Al Kol Yisrael. On all Jews, we have to keep our payos. Dim lokein ledas Rambam lama lo klala Torah lav ze b'shara chukim. Interesting. The raya is where the Rambam places the halachas of cutting payos. He doesn't put it in the same parak as chukas akum. If cutting payos is really a subcategory of chukas akum, he should have lumped them together. He didn't. Must be. It's a separate, independent iser, and even the Rambam would say there is no heter to cut the payos for shalom malchus. So now that one's not so relevant for everyone here. But there can be a relevant shaila that would come up, which is discussed in the Tshuvas Prisad. I found it in the Sefer Peos Ba'alacha, Ke'alacha rather, and he has a discussion which could come up. If a person, let's say, has a certain skin ailment, something, whatever, I don't know, different types of things, but sometimes a person could have something that's below the beard or below the hair, and the way to get rid of it is by shaving off that part of the hair. So if a person is itchy, it's bothering him, is he allowed to cut off his payas if the doctors say it's going to remove that ailment? So in this sefer, they call it the Priyasada, he says you cannot rely on a heter. Ah, the Rambam says for certain purposes, like Shol Malchus, you can cut off the payos. He says we don't pass like that Rambam. Others go against his Rambam. The Taz was incorrect in his reading. And we say across the board, you cannot violate payos. We don't look for reasons to give heterim. If it's Malkum Pikuach Nefesh, it's a whole other story. Person needs stitches and he needs to shave off to get it, so then certainly you would be allowed to. But for tsar alone, unless it's a very, very severe tsar, the poskim do not allow any heterim for cutting off payos. So now let's discuss what exactly are payos. If you go now to number 14, this is page number 3. So it's found in the Gemara Makos Daf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Vamakif peos rosha v'chule." Tan Rabbanan, peos rosha. What's considered peos? Sof rosha, the end of the head. Ve'ezev sof rosha. What's considered the end of the head? Zemashvet tzedav lachori ozno upadachaso. One who equates the temple area to the back of the ear to the forehead. It's a little unclear what the Gemara means by that. It's amazing how sometimes in so few words the Rishonim could really explain and bring a picture to life. So what the Rivan is the parish on the side of the Makos. It's not really Rashi, it's the Rivan. The Rivan writes, number 15, Hamashvet Tzdav L'Achorei Ozno L'Padachaso. One who again equates that Tzdav is the area of the payas, it's behind the ear to the forehead, so he explains very nicely. Achorei Ozno Ein Seyaklum. Behind our ear, there's no hair. It's skin there. You can feel the bone behind the ear. That's empty. The kach b'metzcha, also a person's in his forehead, there's also no hair. Ein serklum. Aval b'tstav shebemsa, the area between the forehead and behind the ear, yesh seyar, there is hair. And I'll show you the picture in just a second. Vimhu mashve v'notel kol ha-seyar, if you remove all that hair in that area, shebet tzedav, lemidas achari ozno, to draw a line there, you cut off all the hair, upadagas, making a straight line, zeo makif sof rosh. That's considered cutting off the hair. So, let's look. You're looking at everyone's hair.
Because I want to say something. I'll make sure nobody has that haircut.
Okay. Yeah, hang a second. So,
you're right. Yep. You're, I know what he's going to ask you. He's asking. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll say it, and we'll just explain it quickly. But I know you're going to ask. Yes. No one here has it, I don't think. But yes, we'll try to be sensitive. You're right.
The thing is, I mean, does a little bit cutting off a little bit, or as long as there's something there, then you're fine.
There are two things we're going to discuss next week. One is, does it mean cutting the whole area? But let's say I cut part of it and leave some of it behind. The Rambam says, as long as you leave something in that area, you're actually not violating the Isser. You could leave two hairs, and then you're not having violated the Isser. Most argue. Number two, we'll discuss how long the hair has to be. A one, a two, a three, scissor, very long. That will be next week. But now we're discussing just the area of, again, between the forehead, but behind the ears. So remember, when I was in school, I thought it was just like a circle the whole way around, straight. It's not straight. It's more like, I'll do it this way, I'll show you pictures. It's like that. So let's look at the pictures before we go continuing in the sources. So there's a machlokas, again, what this exactly means. So look at number, there's no number here. Look at this picture of the little boy. Poor boy was they covered his face in a paper or something. So they actually like this boy because he has some extra hair in the front there. So they're using that also as a model of that area. You see where number Aleph is, letter Aleph. That area you actually can cut off there, they point out. So okay. So look at the line that's going at an angle, the bays. That bays is what's referring to in the this Rivan. But it goes to the front of the ear. It starts at the top. If you look, I don't have a good... I'm bald, so it doesn't really help me. People have a full head of hair. There's an area where it kind of juts out. So that area where it kind of juts out is where it starts on the top, and it goes as an angle. I'll do it this way for the... I'll do it this way. Again, I don't know much... But like around here or so, it starts and goes down to the ear. According to the first opinion, it goes to the front of the ear. That's what this sefer shows. So everything in front, you're allowed... You cannot cut off, but everything on top of the ear... And behind, you would be allowed to. There are others, the Chazon Ish says that gimel, that curve, that arch there, that's a chumra of the Chazon Ish and hider to even go that high. That's part of it. But right now, my focus is the where it goes to the ear, right in front of the ear, according to the Sefer Peah Kalacha. Now, it doesn't seem so right, because remember the Rivan says, Acharei HaOzen, it should really go at the back of the ear. So if you look at this other sefer here, which is a different, it's called, the sefer is Hanoi V'Hanetach. So the picture, they didn't abuse any kids in this case, they drew a picture in this situation. So they drew the line kind of behind the ear. Mm-hmm. Behind the ear, that's according to that Mandamer, which I think would be more correct in the way the Rivan is understanding it, behind the, you know, kind of at the top and back of the ear. So... this is, by the way, when I spoke last week, when I got kicked out of that barber shop, this was what happened, because I was very happy. I was in Zeberman's looking for Peah Kalacha, and they happened to be selling the Sefer HaNoi V'Hanetach. I don't know much about it, but it just happened to me. I'm looking through it. This is exactly what I want. And so he writes here, oftentimes what a barber will do, which is what I caused the problem for, they I was mechavin to this guy, they would start with behind the neck with a zero, the in the machine. But then they go up the back of the neck here to the side, and they do that, which is all fine. But then they just naturally go all the way around the front there. And then this area here is part of the Isser. So I said, listen, I don't want you to do anything behind my ear even. And the guy starts yelling at me, but look at the picture. You see the picture on the wall. I said, I know the picture, but I want my haircut like this. So he said, you're so frum and everything like that. Because as the Sefer points out, once they start here, they just naturally go in front. And that would be an Isser of cutting off part of the payas. Fine. So
can we say cutting off, that's only using a zero.
A zero, correct, yeah.
If you leave hairs,
but they use a zero. Even scissors could be a problem there also. If the scissors go so close to the hair, we'll see next week, we'll discuss whether that's a problem or not. Now moving by to, we could do everything correct. So
what are you worried about?
No, I understand, but he comes around, he comes over the top, over the ear here.
Yeah, correct, so... this is something. According to the Sefer Perek Halacha, he says you're allowed to because he thinks the line stops right in front. Uh-huh. So then that would be completely fine. But usually they'll even try to, even by the here, they'll do some cutting.
Yeah.
So it's a problem. Now, in the Sefer Anoy Vanetach, he was going off on a rant. It's really hard to understand pictures and words. But here's a picture that the Chazon Ish wrote. If you see this picture here, the Chazon Ish made this picture, two pictures 5 years apart from each other. And based on this picture, he was going on a whole rant. I have no idea what this picture means, to be honest. There's like a line and an arrow. I think he's trying to say that the Chazon Ish thought the hair went like behind the ear even. It's so clear in the picture. I must be missing something. I just don't know how to interpret this picture. But these are two pictures that have been drawn by the Chazon Ish, which itself is very interesting. But again, it doesn't hurt to be more machmir to go to, as the other Sefer presents it, the back of the ear. And I think the recommendation is not to have them use any of the machine around the ear at all.
Or the scissors.
What?
Or the scissors.
So we'll have to discuss scissors. If they use a comb and a scissors, it's really fine. Or they could use what I do with mine. I ask them to really use a three all over my head. Everywhere, just use a three. And the back of my neck, you could use a machine of zero.
Right, so but basically over here you're saying when they like to say what they do is clean up, so that's right. Not a good thing to be doing.
If they use a comb and a scissor so it doesn't mamish touch the head, Then yes. But we'll discuss next week that how long it could be. Right now I'm just pointing out where is the area of payas where it raises questions. Now it says here in the Orchaz Rabbeinu, I'm a little confused. This is a newer edition. It's the Minhagim of the Chazon Ish and the Stipler and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's always unclear who exactly is talking when they're writing this. But the Chazon Ish, apparently, when he would receive a haircut, he would get a haircut and put his finger like this the whole time. And this rage, no one would ever touch it. So if you know exactly where it is, that's how you would block it. And he also points out here, there's a story of you ever see a picture of the Rogachover?
Yeah.
He had very long hair. So the reason why he had long hair is because he didn't want to take off his yarmulke, because then he couldn't learn. So, fine. So Rav Shach does a whole thing about that. Is that really true? Mahar B'Torah, could you really not learn with a yarmulke on? It does point out here, when the Chazon Ish would get a haircut, he would remove his yarmulke. But the moment he'd be done, he'd immediately put the yarmulke back on. Fine. Okay, so that's the Chazon Ish. So again, that's the first point in terms of the area of how high the top of the pes, either that line or a curve. Now, the next part is how low, on the sideburns now, how low is it going to go? So if you look inside now, let's go now to number 19. Number 19, the Gemara says in Makos, V'chai v'al harosh, machve rav sheshes, bein pirkei reshe, between between the different bones of the head.
Joints,
yeah. So the Ritva explains, what does this mean? Ritva says, number 20, Heim b'makom chibur harosh im ha'panim. It's where the head, the skull, meets the jaw, the face. The head and the face meet. Sharosh shtei chatichos, makom ha'seir, chaticha achas, u'makom ha'panim. The hair, it kind of changes. It goes from regular hair in the head, then it goes to your beard hair. The material, it's thicker. It's different. So when it changes over and shifts over, that seems to be the area, what he's describing here. And makom apan v'azakan chaticha acheres. So the hair on the head is different than the hair on the beard. U'mischaberes b'tzad ozen. Now they connect adjacent to the ear, milafanav, in front of the ear. Zumzu, the two hairs, bones and hairs, touch each other. B'makom sh'aloazim korin simbola. What they call in his language, simbola. So in the neck, what the Ritva seems to be describing here is around this area, almost where that bone is. We all know, growing up, it was always told the bone here, which is the side of the ear where the hair changes. You feel the hair of the head, it's very soft, and then the hair of the beard is much thicker and scruffy. So that's the area that the Ritva seems to be describing, again, the middle of the ear. And then he says, further jump down in the bold.
So you can cut till
Till that bone, right where it switches over. You could cut, you could cut the beard part, up until the hair. Once you have the hair of the head, that would be the Isser Peis. Below that, look at the next line, but Hayordim, the bold, Hayordim lemata b'chatich apanim, that which is below, ready on the beard of the face, eina michlal shumper. That's not called Peos Rosh anymore. Lo mi Peos Rosh, sharei einam berosh, that's not the head anymore. Lo mi Peos Zokon, that's not the beard either. Sheinu michlal saros Peos hazokon klal. So if you want to have a beard, so you could have like a little space here if you wanted, wherever. I haven't discussed yet the bones on the face, but let's assume the bone is here, let's say. So in theory, you could have space right here, shave this area between the sideburns and the beard, and have a beard like that. I haven't seen that style done yet, but it's a matter of time until we see it out, right? It's coming.
Yeah,
Okay.
Well, certainly after this year.
Certainly after this year. Okay. Perm. All you guys are going to come perm with that type of a look.
So just to be clear, the bone is not really... Growing up, it was always to the bone. It's really just the difference of that head hair and the beard hair. That's really... So if you're... Head hair stops higher than the bone. Then
good point. Unclear, actually, because the language of the Gemara is Pirkei Reshe. And the way even the Ritva explains, I didn't go through all this inside, and other Rishonim, we'll see, they actually are describing even the bone where the jaw meets the head. So the Ritvas, they should be the same. I don't know if it's true. It could be some people have different hair lines and jaw bones, but it seemed to really be describing more the bone, actually. And the way I saw that Seth sent me from Rebelski, he says the way to tell if you open up your mouth very wide and you see that it stick out like that, that area is where the jaw meets the skull. So it really is the bone, it seems. But it seems to be congruous with the way the hair changes also.
When you open up your mouth, it makes a little indentation on top of it.
Everyone try it out. Let's see. Yeah, around there. I'm not sure.
It goes in from top.
Yes, somewhere in that area or so, it seems. But somewhere in the middle of the ear, not as low down. But if you look further, the Meiri number 21 now seems to say the same thing. He just gives another point of reference, number 21. Sheshtaim hel yonos heim biblita hayote samach lenekov. That bone that juts out next to the hole of your ear, mitat panim. So that's all around the same area. The area that juts out is near where the hole of the ear is. It's around the area where the hair changes from the head to the beard. But there is a number 22, the Rivan, which has a chumrah. The Rivan writes, really, number 22, lemata min ha'ozen, it's below the ear. Makom shalechi atachton yotzei, where the bottom jaw comes out and begins to spread. But that's where the beard starts. So it's a little unclear what he means here. The beard starts higher up, but he's describing below the ear. That's not really the same spot. So is it at the bone or is it below the ear? So that's the machlokas rishonim. It seems that really all poskim agree that the bone is really me'ikir adin. That's how we poskim. But we'll see in a second the Shulchan Aruch, who seems to be machmir, as a hider mitzvah. So let's read and finish off with number 23. Let's just read through these next sifim, and we'll stop after this. Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Aleph, firstly, Peos HaRosh Heim Shtaim, they're two corners of the head, as we know. Sof HaRosh, Hu Makom Chibur Lelechi Miyamin Usmol. The end of the corner of the head is where it connects to the jaw. Sif Beis, Bein Shegilach HaPeos Bilvad, Bein Shigilach Kol Arosh Im Apeos Chai. This is what I think Ezra is referring to. Whether a person just cuts off the corners, but leaves the rest of the hair, or a guy shaves off Kol Harosh, the entire head, everything, to make himself completely bald, that's Chayiv as well. Meaning, I think what you're referring to, getting at your question, there's 2 days in the Gemara, whether if a person cuts off his whole head, whether that would be considered an Isser or not. And the way we paskin is, it is usr. If a person shaves his entire head, including the peos, that would be chlal, be bechlal in isr deraisa.
So if one were to know of such people in one's house of prayer, would one therefore potentially, possibly say something?
I'm going on vacation for a few days. I think you're right.
No, but it's a problem.
Yeah. You're right. You are correct. You're right. Weimer will be back in a few days. Ask him. Yeah, I'm not going.
The way that we're coming out, it's a isamid. I mean, it is an isamid raisa. Now correct. It is really an isamid raisa.
It is.
And also, what number?
Right.
No, we're talking. The people that I'm thinking of is we're talking. You know, bowling ball.
Yeah.
So.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I know I got a haircut like that. I'm not sure. We'll leave it for the senior rabbi, okay?
That's your shaver. I mean, you're
taking it. Fine. Let's finish Sif Test here, the final point here. The Mechaber writes that Shir Peah Mikneged Seir Shel Padachaso Va'al Lamata Min HaOzen. The Shulchan Aruch uses the language of Min HaOzen, and that's why there are those who are Machmir to have the sideburns go below the ear. Makom Shalechi Atachton Yotzim is Paricham. So that's the Chumrah. So, and Rebelski again said that really Mikra Din, all you have to do is keep to the bone, but based on the Mechaber, there seems to be a hider to have the sideburns go below the ear. All right, so we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll continue how long you have to be, the hiddur of having long payas, and other inyanim. Okay, shkoyach.
What if you shave your head, but you want to